Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 2014 Cannes Film Festival, and I'm joined by directors Jean Carénard and Salomé Blechmans, who are presenting their film Fla, Faire l'amour. So, guys, can you tell me a little bit about the story of the film for our listeners to introduce it?
The story of the movie is about a rapper that just signed a big record deal, and he gets deaf. Mm. He becomes deaf. And so you follow this guy, you follow this rapper through the struggle of trying to create while being deaf, and some love situation also, because he's hesitating between two women that are actually sisters. So there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on, and it appears to be very intense and very genuine in the way that it portrays this lead character's emotions and feelings and reactions to the relationships he has with these two women. So I'm wondering about the stylistic choices in portraying these themes, because the arguments are very natural and real. Was there a lot of big use of improvisation and natural performances by the actors?
In fact, Jean created kind of method like a few years ago that he tried with his last feature, Donoma. He creates a schema.
Scheme
of improvisation. It means that
a pattern or some pattern of improvisation.
The script is written, but the actors they don't have it.
Oh.
They only know about the past and the tribulation, the inside inner tribulation of characters. And when he begins a scene, the actors know exactly the emotions they have to go through during the scene, but they can choose their own words.
Okay.
So the pattern is very precise about what happens in the scene and what are the emotions, but they can choose their own move and words. That's why it seems realistic, I think.
Well, I mean, that works very well, because I think realism is a great part of the film. So obviously it was very important to you to have that realism in the film.
Yeah, because I wanted to shoot this movie like a war reporter, because I really see the couple like some kind of private war.
Yes.
And so I wanted to be that war reporter with my camera shaking, getting into the huddle and trying to get the good images.
Yeah, you know, it's like that saying, all's fair in love and war.
Exactly.
Love and war go hand in hand.
Exactly.
And if there's a film that proves it, it's this one. So, about the story, was there a certain personal inspiration, or where did this inspiration come from?
Of course, when you're writing about love, you're always gonna talk a little bit about yourself.
Yeah.
But it's like, really, the story wasn't. I never lived the story. I'm not deaf, and I never dated two sisters at the same time. Mm-hmm. But it's like all this you know, this vision of love. That's pretty much my vision of love.
Okay.
The question that the character has, that's the question that I have also. So it's very cool to be a filmmaker, because whenever you ask yourself some question, you can have a character asking himself this question, making some choices, and just see what happens to him, and then you know how to act.
And if I can get down to the particulars, obviously having a deaf character in a film is not easy. What are the tricks to actually portraying him in a realistic way again?
Oh, it was very, 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 very difficult. It was very difficult, but at the same time, I was with this actor, the main actor. He was really like into the thing. When you took off his hearing
his hearing aid.
When he put out his hearing aid, he started talking loud and not really hearing what people said. He was really, really, really great. So I was really, I was very scared about shooting this thing, and I was wondering how I'm gonna shoot this guy and be realistic with him being deaf. But he made all the work.
Yes, very much appreciated the style too. And for our listeners who haven't seen the film yet and who are thinking of seeing it, it's very interesting. And I'd like you guys to kind of take us through the planning, the different ways in which the film is shot, and the atmospheres that you wanted to achieve by shooting it this way.
So we had two cameras. We were shooting every time with two cameras. Jean had one, I had one. And we were challenging each other to create a very different image from the others. So yeah. When I was shooting with a lot of saturation and a wide angle, he was doing like kind of the opposite, so that his point of view was really different. You can feel like he has a different point of view on the scene. And sometimes we were just like, you take this character, I take this one, and you focus on it. And so if I had the habits to focus on, I don't know, the feet or the skin of the character, it could do a lot different way. So when you see the movie, you are feeling like we are experimenting something. And he has a special kind of shooting. Maybe you can talk about photo style.
Yeah, at some time you can see a little frame in the image, because I'm one of the few filmmakers that still use the Mini 35, which is an adaptator. It's a lens adaptator on camera. Oh. And so it gives you it becomes more handcraft. Yeah. You know, because we're shooting with these digital things. Mm. and so there's, you know, you like really in the digital world, and I'm an analog guy, so it's like getting to the adaptive lens like that. It's the latest one. It's pretty cool. And so I film the lens adaptator, and that's the little frame that you see sometimes.
Yeah, because the difference between the two types of shooting is very good. It almost adds a nostalgic feel, a romanticism that really touches your heart, whereas everything else can touch your head, or, you know, every other sensorial kind of aspect of how you might perceive the film.
But in fact, as we were trying to do a realistic feeling with the way that the actor plays, we were trying to create like kind of oneric,
okay, yeah,
style about the photo. So yeah, the contrast may create this sensation. I don't know.
Because our generation, we are very nostalgic. We're even nostalgic of times that we never knew, because everyone got his little 8mm app on the telephone to shoot. We on Ipsomatic,
yes,
putting some. So I think we're very nostalgic. We are that's our generation.
Great point. Absolutely great point. I noticed that as we go on with the age, and like we're surrounded by all this technology, we seem to keep going back to the past.
Yeah, exactly. And so sometimes with these little things like the little 8mm app or stuff like that, sometimes you can really see that you know it's artificial. You know, the nostalgic thing is artificial. So you got to go back to some handcrafting to have some genuine nostalgia on the camera. So that's why I worked that's why we worked the image the way we worked it.
And it looks excellent. So let's talk about the production. Obviously, this was a very awaited film, because your previous film won awards. But I also realized that it wasn't easy to actually make it, and the production stopped for a while.
Yeah, because first I had a producer, like a regular producer and everything, but my first movie, I did it with like no money, like guerrilla style, and so it was at some point when the shooting started, I realized that I wasn't doing the movie that I wanted to do, so the shooting stopped after 3 days, and then we got back. We took back the rights to make the movie, and 9 months later we were starting the shooting, and so this time we had the opportunity to shoot it exactly the way we wanted to be shot.
So you think that if someone else puts in the money, you lose some of your rights as a filmmaker?
You know what? It's kind of more complicated than that. It's just that when you're shooting a movie with this kind of image, with this kind of choices, it's a responsibility that you're taking as a filmmaker and as a producer.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're doing something that risky, you have to be the producer that take that risk.
Mm. And I'm curious now, how did the collaboration between the two of you begin?
In fact, it began like in 2009. We produced and distributed Donoma together.
Mm.
And while we were like trying, testing our collaboration on music video, not short movie, but we shot a lot together, yeah. And we wrote together.
Yeah, we met because Salome had the script written, and she wanted it. She wanted to work on it with me, and so that's how we started. Like, okay, so let's first work together, and see, and then after maybe we'll do a script or we'll shoot a movie.
Yeah.
And so we worked together on Donoma and production. And a lot of stuff, and so it was a pleasure to work again, to give her the artistic direction on my second feature.
That's wonderful. So now, after a troubled production, Fais L'Amour is here in Cannes.
Exactly.
What are your hopes for the film, and what do you expect to get out of this Cannes edition?
One of our goal is to do like a author movie, but for a regular audience.
Yeah.
So now we want to meet the audience. For me, that's my
We already have what we wanted from Cannes. It's a selection that really loved the movie. You know,
yeah.
Critics Week. They really loved the movie. They put it like on the opening of the selection. So we already have what we had in from Cannes, and now it's time to meet the audience, like Salome just said.
So from what I gather, modern and art house meet very well in this film, and that's exactly what you were trying to achieve. So excellent.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.